I want to talk to you today about spatial delivery. Did you ever send a spatial delivery letter? And I wonder why you did it. I think it was because you wanted it personally delivered. I think you wanted a safe delivery. I think you wanted a timely delivery. And I think you wanted proof of delivery. And I wonder if you ever received a spatial delivery. Someone delivers you, you're doing something, and you receive a spatial delivery letter, you think, you know, this must be important. This must be valuable. And this must be personal. And it must be urgent. And I probably need to acknowledge that I have received this spatial delivery letter. I have to sign for it. In the book of Isaiah is a passage of scripture that is really got something to think about. Jesus, when he was alive here on earth, read this passage of scripture in his hometown synagogue. And here's what it says, Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captive, opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," that's Jubilee, "and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn." Now, actually, he stopped when he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. But it goes on, "to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they'll build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they'll repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of God, and you'll eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself." Spatial delivery. When Jesus read that, the Bible says every eye in the synagogue was turned on him. And he closed the book, and he went and sat down, and it says every eye in the synagogue was looking at him, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." In other words, I am the fulfillment of that passage. Jesus was spatial delivery. I want you to imagine that you get a spatial delivery letter bearing good news under this situation. You've really got a heavy and broken heart, and a spatial delivery comes to you and says, "I'm going to give you good tidings that's going to mend your broken heart." Or you're a slave, and you receive a spatial delivery letter, and it tells you you will no longer be a slave if you accept this offer. Or in a dark, deep prison, and a letter comes and offers you release from the prison if you'll sign the letter. Or you've been terribly disfigured, and a surgeon writes you a letter and say, "I've seen your face. I am a surgeon, and I can repair your face and give you beauty instead of the appearance you have now." Or you are in great heaviness, and a letter comes and says, "I can give you joy." Or your reputation has been shot, and you get a letter that says, "We can restore your reputation, and people will call you a tree of righteousness." Or you've lost the family farm, and it says you're going to get the family farm back, and strangers that stole it away from you are going to serve you. Or you are just an ordinary person in Israel. Obviously not a priest, you're not of the tribe of Levi, and you get a letter, a special delivery letter, and says you can be a priest of God and be known as a minister of God. I wonder if you would respond to a special delivery letter like that. Jesus came special delivery, and when you get a special delivery letter, as I said, it's got to be important. It's got to be valuable. It's personal. It's urgent. All I've got to do is acknowledge the receipt of the special delivery letter. The Bible says this in the book of Galatians, something that I've always liked when he told these Galatians, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we're sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, saying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you're no longer a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I'm trying to impress upon you that God sent Jesus and that he is special delivery. And we need to know that he sent it to us personally. There was a time that the Bible says God in olden times has spoken to the fathers by the prophets in many different ways, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And so this is a personal delivered letter. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a personally sent letter. It's an important letter. Jesus is important because whether we accept him or reject him has eternal consequences. It has great value. What he gave us is more important than a fortune. More than winning a lottery, oh, much greater than the fortune, much greater than having fame, much greater than even our families. I mean, what's more important than family? And yet this offer, this personal delivered, special delivery letter is more important than even our family. It's urgent. You got to do something about it today. Today is the day of salvation. We do not dare procrastinate, and we need to acknowledge the receiving of it. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. So I want to impress upon you that God has delivered you a special delivery, not just in Jesus' birth, but in his life and in his death, he was sent special delivery. I want to point out, first of all, this to you, that Jesus knew the day that he was to deliver this special delivery. Something that you may not have ever noticed before, this book of John is one of my favorite gospels. And in the Gospel of John, I never realized it before until I watched the movie of John's gospel. There is one confrontation after another where Jesus is constantly bickering back and forth. I don't know why in the world people think that there should never be any contention. This special delivery letter, it was not easy to deliver it. And if Jesus had not been in control, it would have been too bad. Because a special delivery letter is sent and it's to be delivered at a certain time. It needs a timely delivery. I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 7 in the book, verse 1 of chapter 7 in the book of John. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. And then look at verse 8. his brother said, why don't you go up to the feast and declare yourself to be the Messiah? That's what they were saying. And he says that he wasn't going to do that yet. He says, you go up to the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. That's chapter 7, but look in verse 27 of that same chapter. Howbeit we know not who this man is, but when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is. And Jesus cried in the temple and said, you both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. And then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. And look in verse 44. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. And then look in John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And look in 8 chapter 59. And then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so he passed by. Look in chapter 10, and this time in verse 31, he said that he and his father were one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And then in 10 verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. In John chapter 11 and verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council and said, what do we do? This man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest the same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but he was inspired, you see. Being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. And then in John chapter 12, this time in verse 10, notice, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Jesus had healed Lazarus. They even wanted to put Lazarus to death because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. And then look at chapter 12 and verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, they believed them not. This it says, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Are you getting the idea here that just one after another Jesus is hiding? And then in John chapter 13 and verse 1, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which are of the world, he loved them unto the end. My hour's not come. He told his mother that. When she tried to get him to do the first miracle of changing the water into wine, he went ahead and did it. My hour is not come. My hour is not come. My hour is not come. This isn't the time. It's not the right time. I want you to see from what I've just shown you that Jesus knew when he was to be delivered up. That's what a special delivery letter is. The person who sends it wants a timely delivered. And I want you to see that Jesus was in command of the situation. Even when he was on the cross, he was in command. I mean, he's hanging here on the cross. There's two thieves here. This thief denies him. This thief confesses him, and he's in command. How I know that? He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to this thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. See, he's in command. He had said before, no man taketh my life from me. Nobody's. He said, I got power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. Man can't take my life from me. Jesus delivered up himself. Jesus was in full control of the situation. And he plainly says, when it's finished, he's in control. And he could just disappear. When his own people tried to push him off the cliff, it says he walked right through the midst. When they picked up stones, he just disappeared from them, and they could not kill him. He is in control. He is the special delivery, and God sent him. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to be born of a virgin. Yes. The birth was a wonderful delivery, but nothing compared to his death. The birth would mean nothing without that perfect life and without the fact that he died on the cross for our sins. He is absolutely in control. Now, Jesus had foretold the route of the delivery. You remember in John 13, and this time in verse 18, I speak not of you all. He's talking to the apostle. I'm not speaking about you all. You're not all clean. For I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled. He that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So that's the Old Testament prophecy. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am. Now the word he is in italics. He didn't say, so that you'll believe that I am he, the way the King James Version says, so that you'll know and believe that I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Say that I am sent you, so that you'll know that I'm God. I've told you ahead of time who it is that's going to betray me. I'm going to give the hand. I'm going to give the sop to the person that's going to betray me. And I know, who he says, who I have chosen. Is somebody who's eating with me, and I've told you this beforehand so that later on after it happens, you'll believe that I am God, that I am the one who is in control. And you'll notice also in the book of Mark, skipping some scriptures I've written down here, but for time's sake, Mark will show it good enough. In chapter 10 of the book of Mark, notice this. And they were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen to him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests under the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they'll deliver him to the Gentiles, and they, the Gentiles, shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he'll rise again. See, Jesus was the special delivery, and he knew the route of the delivery. Judas is going to betray me. He's going to turn me over to the chief priests. Chief priests going to give me to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are going to mock me. And they're going to kill me. And on the third day, I'm going to rise. That was the route of delivery, and Jesus knew it ahead of time. And of course, he proceeded on. Knowing that, he proceeded on. So that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, the Bible says this. Chapter 26, this time in verse 15. And the chief, he went to the chief priest, Judas Iscariot did, went to the chief priest and said, what do you give me? I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought an opportunity to betray him. He'd said that's what Judas would do. Now he did it. And he sent him away from the table and said, what you do quickly. And he had already made the arrangements to betray him. As far as the chief priests are concerned, look what it says in Luke chapter 20, and this time in verse 20. And they watched him, and they sent for spies, which would feign themselves to be just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him under the power and the authority of the governor. And then in John chapter 18, this time in verse 30, you'll notice what it says in 30 and 32 of John 18. This is in relationship to the chief priests. John 18 and verse 30. Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? And they answered and said, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto you. And then said Pilate unto them, take you him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said, it's not lawful for us to put him to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. See, if the Jews was to put him to death, they'd have to stone him. But he was delivered to the Romans. And the penalty for death, by death, was the cross. So he was signifying what death he should die, that he should have to die on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, we see him standing before Pilate. And in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 2, when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then if you look in the 18th verse of that chapter, it says this, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. See, he knew, they didn't fool Pilate. They knew, he knew that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He even said, this man's not done anything worthy of death. But Pilate knew that the chief priest had delivered Jesus for envy. Or if you look in the book of Mark, chapter 15, it says in verse 1 there, and straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And then if you look in all those succeeding verses, which I don't have time, you remember Pilate wanted to let him go, and he would not do so. That is, he couldn't do it because the Jews kept insisting, let him be crucified. In John 19, this time in verse 11, it tells us this. He told this man, you would have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you has the greater sin. So the Jews had a greater sin than what Pilate did. And Jesus told Pilate when he said, don't you know I've got the authority to kill you? You wouldn't have any power at all if God didn't give it to you. And those people who delivered you, me up to you, they have the greater sin. So in Luke chapter 23, what do you find? In Luke chapter 23, the Bible says this in verse 25 of that 25th chapter. And he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison. That's Barabbas, whom they desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. Pilate let the Jews have their will. And two more on this subject. Matthew chapter 27 says in verse 26, he says in verse 26, he released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And Mark 15:15 says the same thing. Do you get the fact that Jesus had foretold all this? He said it would be Judas, he'd be delivered to chief priest would deliver him to the governor, and he would then be brought before the Gentiles, they'd mock him, and he'd be killed. And he'd be spit upon and scourged and be killed. And Jesus allowed that to happen. Jesus is a special delivery. He came into the world to die. This is a true saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There's something else, though, in Matthew chapter 27 and in verse 58. Listen to what it says. After Jesus was dead, when the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And Joseph had taken up the body, he wrapped it in the clean linen cloth, and he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but there was a word that kept appearing. Delivered, delivered, delivered. Judas delivered him to the chief priest. The chief priest delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate delivered him to be crucified and to be scourged. And he delivered him to be crucified. And the Bible says that Pilate finally delivered the body to Joseph, to Joseph of Arimathea. And, of course, he didn't stay in the grave, did he? over and over. Every one of those scriptures says he was delivered. I'm telling you, Jesus was special delivery. Delivered by Judas, delivered by the chief priest, delivered by Pilate, over and over and over, he was delivered. Jesus is special delivery. Now, since Jesus is special delivery, the receipt of that special delivery has to be acknowledged. All these people delivered him. He was sent to redeem us from the law so that we'd not be slaves, but so that we'd be sons. He sent Jesus to set the captive free. He sent Jesus to deliver the prisoner. He sent Jesus to give us beauty for ashes. He sent Jesus to turn mourning into joy. Jesus is a special delivery letter, and when you get a special delivery letter, you ought to expect, I've got to acknowledge the receipt of this special delivery. Listen to what the Bible says when the women were there at the tomb in Luke 24:7. He says, the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was with you in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words. I'm telling you, Jesus was in control. He was special delivery and God delivered him up. The Son of Man was delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and on the third day rise again. But it wasn't just angels. Do you remember in Luke 24, Jesus saw two men on the road to Emmaus? And what does this say? Well, Jesus is talking to these men, they not knowing at that time he was Jesus. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And then Jesus said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have been suffering these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them this, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then he appeared to the 12. And there in the upper room in Luke 24, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning me. And then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're the witnesses of these things. And so it's important to see that the angel announced it. Jesus announced it to the men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, you know, I told you, and the scriptures foretell it, and the angel announced it was true. But one of the most beautiful announcements is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The apostles speak in tongues, and the men accused them of being drunk, and they wanted to know, how are we understanding every man in our own language? And look what it says in Acts 2. Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. You remember about 50 days ago, that before 50 days ago, you saw Jesus doing wonders and miracles and signs. Well, him, listen to this, being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding to it. And then he quotes David saying in a prophecy that his body would not be left in the ground and see corruption, and that he would not leave his soul in Hades. And then Peter applied it and he said, that isn't talking about David. David's tomb is right down there. His body saw corruption. And David's not yet ascended into heaven. This was a prophecy of David's Lord. that his body was not left in the ground, didn't see corruption, and his soul wasn't left in Hades, but God hath raised him up, and we apostles are witnesses. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told two things. Since they believed, you're to repent and you're to be baptized. There's the two commands and two promises. You'll receive the remission of sins and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise is not only to you and your children, but all who are afar off, even the Gentile, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, Peter preached that it was the predeterminate counsel and the foreknowledge of God that they kill him. He was a sacrifice. He was the priest, and he was the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. That was God's plan before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 says. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it convicted them. We have killed the Messiah. What shall we do? And so he told them what to do. And as many as received his word were baptized, and the Lord added to the church that day about 3,000 souls. But then he preached another sermon after he healed the man that sat there at the gate. And when he's talking to them in chapter 3 and verse 13, let's read verse 12. Peter saw it and answered, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though through our own power or holiness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just One, and you desired a murderer, speaking of Barabbas, to be granted unto you. You kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we're witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you seek and know. The faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before has showed us by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he's fulfilled. Repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he'll send Jesus, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive or retain until the time of the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses said, a prophet shall your Lord God raise up unto your brethren, like unto me, like unto Moses. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, Jesus, shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all of the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, and as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. And you're the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, Abraham. And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, you Jews first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you. And here's the purpose of his sending. In turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's the purpose he was sent. That all nations of the earth be blessed, and that people who believe would turn away from their sins and their iniquities. It must be obvious to you that when you get a special delivery letter, you have to acknowledge it. And on Pentecost, those people heard that by the predeterminate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, did God deliver him up. It was God's plan, and it's absolutely essential for you to respond to that special delivery that God sent. Paul tells us the reason for the special delivery in his letters. Let's look at those right quick. Romans chapter 4, and look what it says in verse 24. Romans 4 and verse 24. But also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, delivered. I'm telling you, God is sent his son, and he is a special delivery, and he wanted to do this to deliver you from your offenses, for how you stumbled. And he raised him for his justification. And he says something like that in Romans chapter 8, this time in verse 31. It says in verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so, if God's for us, who can be against us? He delivered him up. Who shall say lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, and who is at the right hand of God to make intercession for us. And who's going to separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long and we're accounted as sheep before the slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, not the stars, nor the depths, not Hades, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, after he delivered up Jesus, his own son, how shall he not with us freely give us all things? Nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. No one can condemn, and nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He's a special delivery letter, and he intends that we change. He did something else in 1 Thessalonians. The Bible tells us why he did it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, we are to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's why he came. Not just to get rid of sin. Not just to make us so that we're not charged and can't be separated. He came to deliver us from the wrath to come. And that Galatians 1:4 passage is really quite beautiful, because there in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. It didn't just come as a fire escape, not just saving us from the wrath to come, but not only to redeem us and sanctify us and justify us, but to save us from this world. Remember what I've often preached to you? Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath, but make me pure. He came to deliver a special letter because he wants us to be what this says, delivered from this present evil world. And one other thing the Bible says he did when he did that in Hebrews chapter 2, this time in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Christ also himself, took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He came to destroy the power of death, the one who has the power of death, that's the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He came to deliver us from the power of death, and not only from the power of death, he came to deliver us from the fear of death. Now, this was a special delivery letter. And if you reject the special delivery, you're rejecting the sender. If a person is sent a special delivery letter and he's doing something and so interested in what he's doing that he lays aside the special delivery letter and never opens it, obviously he doesn't get the good news that's in the letter, or he doesn't get the warning that's in the letter. If he reads it and procrastinates it, he is obviously saying, this is not urgent. If he gets it and he does nothing about it, he's saying, it's not important. And if you get the letter and you don't accept it, you're saying, this has no value for me. This is a true saying, worthy of all acceptation. He came into the world to save sinners. He delivered him up for us all. And if we don't accept Christ, as Jesus himself said, if you reject me, you reject him that sent me. But if you receive me, then you receive him that sent me. God sent his son into the world. And you've got to do something about that special delivery letter. You've got to acknowledge the receipt of the letter, because if you don't, there's one more delivery. And that's found in the book of Revelation. Some people don't like warnings. Some people say that's negative preaching. But Revelation chapter 19 puts it like this. What it says in this passage of Scripture, these words. And I believe I have the wrong Scripture. It's actually the 20th chapter. And this time, we're looking at verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom the face of the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great. That means important and unimportant. That includes the king and the pauper, the rich and the poor, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades delivered up, and the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus is special delivery. You must acknowledge that. You must have your name written in the book of life. Whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is important. Any special delivery letter is important. As I said, when you get a special, send a special delivery letter, you want it personally delivered, you want a safe delivery, you want a timely delivery, and you want proof of delivery. You want an acceptance. You want an answer back from what you sent. On the day of Pentecost, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord added about 3,000 souls that day. And at the end of that chapter, verse 48, I believe it is, says, and as many as received the word was baptized, but then at the bottom it says what? It plainly says that there was preaching, and then it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Well, who did he add a while ago? Well, those who heard, and those who believed, and those who repented, and those who were gladly baptized were added. And the Lord adds you to his church. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, there's that future delivery. Death and Hades, those who have died and those who are in Hades are going to be brought out after that great throne, and they're going to be judged according to their works. And if their name's not written in the book of life, they're cast into the lake of fire. Don't refuse this love letter that God sent you. He's special delivery, and you need to accept him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your special delivery. We're thankful for his birth, that he was born of a virgin, born of a woman, came, was the spotless Son of God, lived a perfect life, knew he was born to die, knew that he was a sacrifice, that he came into the world to save sinners, and he was in control. He knew when his hour was. He would escape from those who wanted to kill him ahead of time. And even when they tried to make him king, he escaped from them because he knew he had an appointment with death and he had to die and say, it's paid, it's finished. Help us to accept it. Help those who are listening to my voice this day realize I need to reply to that special delivery letter for us in the